Good morning. Welcome to this session on internet. My name is John, and I am a sexaholic.
Hi, John.
I'll be your leader for this session. In the spirit of the fifth tradition, I want to let you know that since this is a recorded session, this session is recorded, and the recorder will not be turned off at any time during the session. So if you do not wish to be recorded, you may participate by listening or by attending another session. We ask that those who choose to share step up to the microphone, and so that those who are listening on the recording can follow the discussion. Will you please join me this morning in the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Would you please read the essay purpose?
Sure. I'm Alan, sexaholic. The essay purpose. Sexaholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop lusting and become sexually sober. There are no dues or fees for SA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. SA is not allied with any sex denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sexually sober and help others to achieve sexual sobriety.
Thank you. Al and I are the panelists of this session. Each of the panelists will share for just a few minutes on the topic. We'll then open up the meeting for sharing or questions. Again, we ask that those who choose to share step up to the microphone so that those listening on the recording can follow our discussion. I'm looking for the official title of the session just so that the listeners do know they've got the correct track. This is Internet Tool or Relapse. My name is John. I am a sexaholic. And we share our experience, strength, and hope in this program. And when it comes to the internet, I have the least to say in as far as insight goes, but I do have some experience to share. The internet is how I got addicted. And when I came to a first SA meeting, standing outside the door waiting to take step zero and turn that doorknob, I honestly wondered if by going in and saying that this is my addiction, that the people in the room would kind of say, "Sir, you know, this is for people with a serious problem. You need to go find a different meeting." And I was very surprised to find that at least half the people there did suffer with the same struggle that I had. I was a goner. I'm not going to try to compete, but let's just say if you were more addicted to the internet and used it more chronically and for more hours a day than I did, I feel genuinely sorry for you, and I'm very glad you're in this room with me. But I did get to an SA meeting, and for about 4 or 5 years, I was halfway understanding the program. I like to say I was working most of the program all of the time, or all of the program only some of the time, and I just wasn't getting sober. And so my 3 or 4 years of daily slipping was on the internet. But then I got sober through working the steps, getting a sponsor, coming to meetings. I got sober in a way that I never dreamed possible before. And after that, today, I work on the computer, on the internet, every single day. I've been sober since February, Valentine's Day of 2007. But I've been working on the internet continuously for many, many years. And I'll just say I don't think the internet is any different than any other form of this problem. The problem for me was just as serious as anything I've ever heard anyone else share. The only thing I didn't do was get arrested, but I lost a business, I lost my kids, I lost my house, and It's just because I couldn't stop. And so, I live on this side of sobriety where I honestly don't know, other than by the grace of God, how I got sober. If you came here this morning to hear 10 terrific techniques for managing your struggle with the internet, I don't have a single tip that's not in the big book or the white book. My struggle with the internet remained a struggle until the day I got sober. And after I got sober, I found that the big book's promise was indeed true, that as long as I was coming to the internet by God's will to do what I think God put me on earth to do, I didn't have a struggle on the internet. But as soon as my house goes out of order, the internet immediately becomes a problem for me. So I think with that, I will pass.
I'm Alan, a recovering sexaholic from New York. Really grateful to be here. What a gift to have a room with 650 other people struggling with the same struggles that I have. And that truly is something that prior to 7 years ago I didn't know existed. And I'm grateful to be here. And my prayers go out to those who don't even know that we exist, that they too should find what we have been given so freely. I came to this program by the grace of the internet. It saved my life because it got me fired. And I was a rabbi, and at the time it felt like a really good idea for a rabbi working in my field to go on the company computer and surf porn. That really felt like a brilliant idea. My hierarchy, my managers, didn't seem to think the same way I did. And they told me, you can't come back next week. And I said, wow, the gig is up. 25 years of acting out is up. I couldn't sleep. I was suicidal. I couldn't even say my morning prayers. I just couldn't recite them. And the rabbi who caught me told me that I should continue in my work, in my rabbinical work, which was just an angel of God coming down. He said, nobody is going to hear about this from my mouth, which is amazing, because in the tight-knit community that I lived in, that my life would have been destroyed, my family would have been destroyed, but that didn't happen. I did lose a six-figure job at the time, but I didn't lose a day of work, because Friday I called a friend who was working in another city, and told me I knew he was working there, and they had an opening, and they said, you can come for a week. And I went there. And 2 days later, I was alone in the apartment, and what was I doing? I was looking through a phone book. That was another one of my obsessions, looking through the phone book to act out, and I saw Sexaholics Anonymous. I said, wow, this looks like a great place to act out. And I called the line. That's how I found SA. I called the phone number, and you know, the rest is history. That job that lasted a week, lasted for 2 years. Every week they asked me to come back another week. So, you know, just leave it into the hands of God. And I got sober for 2 years, and then had a relapse for 8 months. I needed some more pain. I thought I was cured. Stopped going to meetings. No rocket science there. And I just needed a little bit more pain. So God said, here you go. Here's some pain. And by the grace of God, I still came to meetings. I didn't like it. I hated anybody who was sober. I was watching the clock, coming late. I only went because my wife was in the Essanon meeting upstairs, so I had to show up with her. I was pissed. I was angry. And somehow I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And God said, okay, your time is up. You have enough experience to share with others. I'm going to keep you sober now. And he's kept me sober ever since. That was 4.5 years ago, by the grace of God. As was shared, I also believe that the internet is a gift of God. I don't think God has put anything on the face of the earth that is out here to hurt me. The internet is a wonderful tool. It's helped me in many ways. I'm able to connect with people worldwide. I'm able to find out information that I need. I'm in school. I'm able to find out, work on papers. I'm able to produce more at work and find out more information that that I need when I need to be there. When I don't need to be there, it's like walking into a porn shop. No difference. And I've heard people put on blocks, and I don't know about you. I don't know what a boundary is. A fine line for me is something that I cross. That's what it's there for, just for me to cross. I had a problem with peeping Tomism, and I told my sponsor about it, and I stopped looking at windows, not peeping into windows, looking into windows. When I was driving down the bus, I knew I could not, in the street, in the middle of the day, where you can't even see through, I could not look into windows. That was what I told my sponsor that I couldn't do. I couldn't look at phone books for a long time. Phone books were a real trigger for me. I look up escorts, look up, you know, all the other stuff. I see you guys nodding, so I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. And the same was true with internet. I couldn't have internet in my house, and I thought by not having internet in my house, I was going to not look at pornography, and that didn't turn out to be true. I found that if there's a will, there's a way. And I do believe this is a spiritual program. And last night when Bill came up to me and asked me to share in the lead, I went through the big book, because until yesterday, I thought it was my opinion. I have a lot of opinions, and I found out that my opinions are not always true, because they're based on self and selfishness and self-centeredness and a sick mind. So I could be wrong. So if your sponsor has told you to put a block on your computer, then he's right and I'm wrong. However, I did find support in the big book, and I just thought I would share that with you on page 101. In our belief, and I'm just going to change the word alcoholism to sexaholism just to make it more real for me. In our belief, any scheme of combating sexaholism which proposes to shield, so it's right there, to shield the sick man from temptation is doomed to failure. And I said, wow. I even had it underlined, but I didn't know it was here. So if I want to shield myself from temptation, it's doomed to failure. If the sexaholic tries to shield himself, he may succeed for a time, which I can relate to. It did happen, you know, lasted a couple of hours, maybe a day or so. But he usually winds up with a bigger explosion than ever. That's my experience. We have tried these methods. So in 1935, they did the same thing. What do you know? And they didn't even have internet. These attempts to do the impossible have always failed. So now that we're doomed and we're lost, what do we do? But the big book never leaves us hopeless. He always gives us a solution. So our rule is not to avoid a place where there is, I'll just use the word lusting instead of drinking. If we have a legitimate reason, and that's written in squiggly lines, which I've been told when it's written in squiggly writing, it means it's important. If we have a legitimate reason for being there, that includes bars, nightclubs, dances, receptions, weddings, even plain ordinary whoopee parties. And for us, I guess whoopee parties would be internet. To a person who has had experience with a sexaholic, this may seem like tempting providence, but it isn't. You will note that we made an important qualification. Therefore, ask yourself on each occasion, and this is really, here, if somebody wants a tool, it's right here. Have I any good, not any bad, but any good social, business, or personal reason for going to this place? So that's a good question to ask myself before I go on the internet. Or am I expecting to steal a little vicarious pleasure? That's a little subtle, vicarious pleasure, because it was never vicarious. It was definitely pleasure, but not vicarious in any way. From the atmosphere of such places. If you answer these questions satisfactorily, you need have no apprehension. That is a pretty powerful guarantee. No apprehension. Go or stay away, whichever seems best. But be sure you are on solid spiritual ground before you start, and that your motive in going is thoroughly good. Do not think of what you will get out of the occasion. Think of what you can bring to it. But if you are shaky, you had better work with another sexaholic instead. So I think that's some pretty good suggestions what to do. My thoughts again is that the attitude towards the internet has to be a positive one, that it is a phenomenal tool and it is a gift. Because my experience is that when I'm angry at something, when I think that there's something wrong with women in this world, and I'm angry at them, I start looking at women. And when I'm grateful that they are here, they have beauty to this world, that they are the ones who bear our children. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my mother. And when I think of them in such a way, I'm not resentful of them, and then I don't look at them and take losses. And I just want to leave with just one more guarantee, since that was a pretty powerful one. If any of you are feeling that spirituality doesn't work in this program, on page 55, actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. So God is in me. I don't need really to search elsewhere for it. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship, of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. What a beautiful statement. That the feeling that I have for a friend, that gooey, ishy, mushy, nice feeling that I have when I see a friend or a fellow sexaholic, that same feeling I have for God because he's part of me. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly. Searching fearlessly, the only other place I found that was in step 4, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. So he's a fact. It's not something that I need to question or give an opinion about. It's definitely a fact. We found a great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. It was so with us. And here's just one last paragraph, and that's where this guarantee comes in. We can only clear the ground a bit. If our testimony helps sweep away prejudice, enables you to think honestly, encourage you to search diligently within yourself, then, if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. With this attitude, you cannot fail. You can't fail. Wow. Can't fail. That's powerful. I don't know another guarantee in life. Cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you. I have wireless internet in my house. Wireless. I have a laptop. I don't have a tabletop desk computer. And it has a battery the last 2 hours. And I study. I'm in school. And sometimes when I'm studying a lot and I need to go to the bathroom, I take the computer with me. I go into the bathroom with the computer. I don't look at the internet. I don't search porn. That's not Alan. I cannot fail. If I wake up every morning and I admit that I'm a sexaholic, I can't fail. That's a huge guarantee. Thanks.
We'd like to open up this session for sharing, and thank you, Alan. just come up front and take the microphone. Is it all right to take this out?
No, they don't want us to touch them.
And please keep your share as brief as is needed to help give other people time to share.
Hi, I'm Robert. I'm a sex addict.
Hi, Robert.
I've got a lot less time in the program than some of the guys here. I just want to give that as a disclaimer because I'm probably going to say some stronger things. I found myself, my primary flavor is acting out with internet pornography. I have a job that uses the internet. I have a lot of coworkers who don't understand, but I just don't have the internet at home. And I find that if I don't need the internet. It's a fantastic tool. I use it regularly and daily for my job, but I do not need it. I want it. And so if you're one of those people that, like me, said, oh, no, but I needed to do this, and oh, that would I need to do that, and I think the question was raised, is it, do I have a good purpose to be there? And that's a fine question to ask, but another question I would ask, and I think about this as I read what's in the side of the first page of my white book, I will do whatever it takes to stay sober. And so the question is there some way I can do this thing that I think I need the internet for? Is there some way I can do it without having the internet at home? Because I would also recognize I had a block on my computer, and it was pretty significant, pretty effective, and it worked for about 5 minutes, and I figured out a way to tamper with the hardware and the software and do all the things I needed to do so that I could act out. Nobody'd know. Like I said before, I'm just one guy expressing my opinion. Listen to your sponsor. But if I was your sponsor, that's what I'd say. Thanks.
Thanks for
sharing.
Hi, I'm Alan. I'm a sex and love addict. Sorry, too tall. This is my first time sharing, and most of my life I was masturbated a little bit, maybe once or twice a year. That was it. I didn't really think I had a problem until the internet came along. And today, I have an internet business, actually, you know, selling information. So I'm on the computer all the time. And I found that I do have a computer at home because both me and my wife are workaholics, so we have to work at home, too, of course. So. But I've instituted a lot of different things at home. Like, I don't look at the internet at home unless my wife is there. And I appreciate what you said about the being spiritually well, because like some days I can go to work and I don't even think about it. I mean, I do have blocks on both of them because for me it helps tremendously whether the book says so or not. So I'm sorry about that, but. It just helps somehow psychologically, because what happened the other day was one of my clients in the UK wanted me to get on Blogger to do some work for him, so I had to get my wife to give me the password, and I left the computer somehow I left the pass didn't re-engage the password, and then a few weeks later, I got on the computer and I saw that the password was off, and so that was a really big trigger, and that caused me to fail. so that was a really hard thing to accept, because I really did not feel I was in a spiritually bad place, but you know, so that's what I'm wrestling with. But like I was saying, some days I'll get to work and I don't even think about it. And those are really good days. And even sometimes something will come up and it will be triggering, but I can turn it off. So there's a lot of hope there. I was 2.5 years sober, even with that. And but that was the real thing that started me on this journey. And but you know, I've done really well. It's still, this program has helped me tremendously to improve my life with my wife, and you know, she understands, and so it's really supports me in this, and that really helps, because I need somebody to you know, watch out and make sure that I'm not on there too much. So thanks.
My name is John. I'm a sexaholic. I just want to cut in for a moment and say, in our white book, and this is not crosstalk, this is just something I intended to say earlier. If you've read the white book much, you know that in the back there's a section with, I believe, about 18 suggestions on how to not get sober, but to get into the program of SA. And one of the suggestions is that you get rid of your stash. So if you have a library full of inappropriate material on a bookshelf, they suggest you remove those books. The dilemma for us with the internet is it's the Library of Congress, meaning everything that's ever been published is there, including inappropriate things, and either the door is locked or unlocked for the most part for us. But I do agree that if you feel having wide open, unblocked internet access is failing to get rid of your stash, I think it's appropriate to get rid of it. But I tell my sponsees, when they say, I've got a great blocker, it sends all of my, you know, website hits to my pastor. I think I finally got this problem licked. I say, that will not get you sober. It may keep you dry, but it will not get you sober. But at the same time, if that helps you fulfill what the white book says about cleaning out your clearing your environment of those well-known triggers, that's fine.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is David. I'm a grateful lustaholic and love addict. I've been sober since January 24th of 08. I think I really wanted to come up for this meeting. I woke up thinking I really want to be here, and I woke up maybe 15 minutes before 8. And, you know, because I'm in talk with my sponsor about possibly being able to get back on the internet for my job. Now, for one of my jobs, I automatically am on the internet. I mean, that's at work. It's at work. I'm surrounded by people, and it's just kind of a required thing. But I think for me, I can play with this so much in my head and tell me I can or I can't. Where surrender is an important part of my program now. It took me 4 years to learn this. Surrender is so very important. I mean, steps are important. Steps get me, you know, but I've worked the steps without surrender and gotten almost the same result. So I need to, what I try to do is I try to be very open with my sponsor about everything that's going on with my life in regards to lust and let him make that decision. So, for instance, you know, even though one of my jobs took a hit because I'm off the internet in that job, I really need to be off the internet. That's more important. My higher power can take care of me. Otherwise, he'll provide for me. You know, but I've been kind of starting talking to my sponsor about this. And whatever he says goes, you know, because I'm just not, my mind is just not smart enough to figure this thing out. So, and I do want to just say I need to share this in a meeting. I've just heard some strong language, I guess, around lust and things like that, and I realize maybe, just maybe, I am wanting to hang on to some bottles that I have, or not that I have, but I might want to have in the future. So I just need to share that. Thanks.
Thank you for sharing. Thanks.
My name is Paul. I'm a recovering sexaholic.
Hey, Paul.
I'm powerless over lust, and I'm completely powerless over the images that are available on the internet. And I thought I had this addiction licked. I was doing well, not acting out, you know, public places, things like that. Until about 1999, the internet came along, and all of a sudden, the whole world of this addiction, you know, came into my home. And you know, it's like a kid in a candy store with a credit card, and you know, all boundaries that were set were crossed. I'd get on and think, okay, well, I've got till 11 p.m., and then 11 would come and go, and then it'd be midnight. I'd be like, okay, I'll be off and in bed asleep by 1 o'clock in the morning, and 2 o'clock would come along, and 3 o'clock. And many times I saw the sunrise while sitting there in my home office on the internet looking at things I shouldn't be looking at. And I could go hours without eating. I could go hours without taking a break to use the restroom. It was insane. And what it did to my insides, you know, I was just like tied up like a knot. And when my wife discovered what was going on, and it's interesting how it happened, because there was a television show about people addicted to pornography. I came right out and said, I said, oh, that's me. You know, I told her, but she raged for quite a while, broke a door, threw things at me, screamed a lot, and we got rid of the internet at that point, and I came back to SA. You know, after I got married, again, like some other people, I thought I didn't need SA anymore because I'd behave myself, but then the internet came along. And so I am powerless over the internet. I cannot use it unsupervised. You know, I can sit in the lobby here at the hotel and, you know, check email or check the news headlines or this or that. But and at work, I know that we are basically supervised. Everything that we do is checked by our IT department, and so I know they're watching. And so I know that anything I do at work is being watched. But we don't have to this day. We don't have the internet at home. I doubt we ever will. I don't know. Perhaps someday. But I do like what was said earlier, and I want to point this out. The internet can be a great thing. I mean, it's amazing what is there. Some of you over the age of 50 might have heard of microfiche or libraries, you know, published books in hardcover form. Last May, I finished graduate school and got my master's degree, and I did all of the research for my project, my paper, on the internet, you know, at the university. and everything that we did was, you know, peer-reviewed articles and different things, but all of the research was done on the internet and did not have to open a hardcover book or look at any microfilm or anything like that. And so, you know, what's there is amazing and can be used for good, just like sex. I mean, just like anything that God has created for good and for beauty and for love, because of the dark side of this world, can be turned into evil and weapons and be used to harm people. And I guess the internet is like anything else in life, can be that way. So anyway, the internet got me back in the program and it's getting me sober. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Paul T. I'm from Asheville, North Carolina, and internet pornography is the bane of my existence. It caused me to lose a professional job, which I still have not gotten back. I'm old enough, I got into pornography when I was in my 20s, and I progressed through VHS, DVDs, and when the internet came on, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. I was on the internet, sort of like this fellow said, more than I wanted. I can remember many times that I would be surfing porn in the middle of the night, and I would fall asleep holding the mouse, and I'd be dropping my head. It was just insanity. This all came crashing down in January of 07. When the consequences hit me, I lied about surfing porn, and I lost my professional job. And at that point, I was seeing a therapist, and I was in SA, but I was, like they said in the, I think I was trying to control and enjoy it, as they say, and I was not controlling it, and I certainly was not enjoying it after that January thing. Fear and consequences got me. I disconnected from my pay sites. I had to turn all my DVDs and everything to my to my therapist, destroy them in front of him, and then I went off to treatment, and I went to treatment, and I learned about the addiction process of internet pornography, about how your mind processes this so much faster than other images, and it just sets up the addiction process so strong that it's very, very difficult to stop. But the consequences and the fear got me, and I stopped. I disconnected my sites, and then I was told that most blockers, like this other fellow said, you can get around and all that. But I was told in my treatment program that if you are serious and want to be serious about really stopping internet pornography use and still have a computer to use for work or email, they suggested that we all get, or I get, a software program called Covenant Eyes. And Covenant Eyes is a program that is installed on your computer before, you know, when it goes on, and it allows you to look at anything on the internet, but whatever you look on the internet is sent to an accountability partner, be it your sponsor, a trusted friend, or your therapist, and you can get daily, weekly, monthly reports that monitor your surfing habits, and you are making a covenant with God and yourself and a trusted partner to maintain your sobriety on the internet. And it has been very helpful for me. And I can say that I've been sober from... internet use for 2 years. Thank you.
My name is Lewis, and I'm a grateful recovering sexaholic.
I'm Lewis.
And the extent of my pornography, I think, is the National Geographic when I was in fourth grade. I never was much at looking at porn. My acting out behavior always involved other people and myself, animals, whatever. But not I didn't do that much voyeurism, or I didn't do that much looking at porn. I got into the SA program in 93, and I had about 12 and a half years of sobriety, and I was working, doing service work, and working the steps, and chairing meetings, running meetings, and starting meetings, and all that. And people would come in with this issue, and I kept thinking, what the hell are they doing, you know, on this thing? Because I got internet back in the 80s, and so my addiction, or my addict, is cunning, baffling, and powerful, because it said I should go and check that out and just see what they're doing, you know. So I, for research purposes only, I clicked on once, looked for a site, and there went 4 hours. 4 hours wasted on looking at this porn. And this was exciting. But that... I said, well, there goes my 12 and a half years of sobriety. So I reset my sobriety date. And by golly, don't you know, the next week, just like in the white book, it says this woman jumped into the car. This darn thing jumps up on my screen. It had infiltrated my computer and jumped on the screen. And I had a hard time getting that off. And I finally got it all off of that. But I use the internet every day, and I've been blessed the last 4 years, a little over 4 years, that I haven't had to go and visit those sites again, or act out again in any sexual way. But it really is something. Gave me an appreciation for people in my group, so that I don't have to sit there and use my other character defects of judgmentalness and criticalness of those that come in with a little different addiction, or a little different expression of the same addiction that I have. So I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that this weekend was such a success. Thanks. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm Steve, grateful recovering sexaholic.
I'm Steve.
From here in this Nashville area. My forms of acting out included masturbation, pornography, sex with animals, sex with men, sex with women, I've paid for sex, and extramarital affairs. You know, I'm completely powerless over the internet, and you know, it's been a huge facilitator for my disease. You know, and everything, pornography, finding people to act out with, chatting, you know, the whole works. And you know, in my first step, you know, I went through, at the suggestion of my sponsor, all the ways I've tried to moderate or stop, you know, thrown my router in the trash and dug it out later. You know, had a friend come over and put a password in my router that I didn't know until it dawned on me that I could just reset it, and, you know, the password was gone, a hard reset. You know, the internet accountability that's been mentioned already, I've used that. But I am blessed / cursed with some computer knowledge, and so if you want to find a way around a filter or an accountability program, there is a way. There's always a way. And if you want to act out, there is a way. And I mean, even at times when I did not have any internet at all in a certain location, I'd just go drive around and look at prostitutes walking on the street, or, you know, something. I'd find something. And for me, the thing that changed everything, there's several key factors, but to keep it very brief and as it relates to this topic, you know, a friend of mine in the program gave me a great gift. I actually really wanted a dog, and my sponsor said, no, you don't need to get a dog. And I was really bummed, man, and I called a friend of mine, and he said, he said, man, your addict is going crazy with this because it thinks you're never going to be able to have a dog. You just can't have a dog today. Why don't you ask him about it again in 6 months? You know, and even for me, 6 months sounded like a long time, but it set up something in my brain. When my sponsor says, you know, hey man, you need to shut off your internet, I think, oh crap, I'm never going to be able to have the internet. But if it, I just, you know, Harvey said this to me one day, you know, can you do without the internet today? Just today. And I was like, yeah. I do also rely on the internet for my work, both at home and work. My wife works from home as well on the internet. So it is pretty important for us for our income. But as was mentioned, you know, it's a great tool. And just for today, if I can, you know, not go to it at all, unless it's for something that I need, if I examine my motives and do that first, I can successfully use the internet. I'll never forget a previous sponsor, you know, he held up his little PDA and he says, you know, I used to use my phone or you know, my computer for acting out, and he's like, I completely don't have any kind of filter on it right now, and I can go to the internet, you know, I can just pull it up and there it is, and by the grace of God and help from you guys, me too, you know, I don't have to use it to act out today. And for me, it was all about surrender and keeping it in today. You know, it's just, I just have to do this for today, and I have to surrender. I have to follow instruction. But just for today, whenever my sponsor suggests something, I don't have to think, oh, I'm going to have to do this the rest of my life. Maybe I will, but if I start thinking that, I'll never be able to do it. I will never be able to do it. And so I have to keep it a today program for me, you know. And this, what was mentioned earlier about the surrender, is so true. You know, I just have to be willing to admit that my own thinking is never going to get me around this problem. I am never going to be able to stop acting out on the internet if I trust my own thinking. I have to surrender, and I have to keep it in mind that it's just for today. Just for today, I'm going to follow these instructions, and then I have the gift, you know, that I don't have to act out. Thanks.
Good morning, my name is Ted. I'm a sexaholic. The internet moved my addiction in warp speed to places and things and actions that I never would have imagined by myself. It cost me, I don't even know how to put it into terms that make sense, in terms of the financial cost, the emotional cost, the personal damage cost. It's beyond any description I can give you. There are no, I really can't even begin to tell you what it, you know, what it allowed me to do. And that's the bottom line. I did it. It's up to me. Nothing is going to make me act out, and nothing is going to keep me from acting out. It's just that simple. If I want to have sex, either fortunately or unfortunately, in this world, it's all over the place. I can go anywhere, any place, any time, and find what I need to feed my addiction if that's what I choose to do. On the other hand, I can choose other things. My addiction allows me to take the natural and make it unnatural in any sense, shape, manner, or form. That's what I do. If that's where I'm living, if that's where my head is at, then that's where I will end up. On the other hand, following up on the ideas that Alan shared, and Alan, thank you so much for your share. There are a lot of things in this world today that can help me be a sane, sober, serene person. For example, this conference. It's not in the blue book that I should come to a conference. They didn't have conferences. So now there's a tool out there that enables me to strengthen my resolve, to strengthen my program, to strengthen my spirituality and move in the right direction and make, in effect, the unnatural natural again. And that's what I need. I need every tool I can get to help me. Because you're right. I will go out there. I will do all these things. But I don't have to. For 2.5 years, I stayed sober when I first came into the program without any filter on my computer. I worked on the computer all the time. I had computers in my house. I was living alone. I was wonderful. I was perfect. And then for whatever reason, I'm an addict, I decided I can handle this. I can deal with this. I can go to this site. I can go to the next site. I was even accountability sponsors for people, and I was getting all these sites in that they're all going to. You know? And the actual truth is, someone mentioned a program here before, and I got an accountability report, and there was a site on there, and I couldn't hear. I said, how come that thing's blocked? And I clicked on it to see why it was blocked, because I was going to call the person back and talk to him and say, listen, you went to the site. I spent an hour on the site. I didn't even know it existed. And that was the beginning of the end, so to speak. So you know what? I said, it can't hurt me to have a filter on my computer. If I think the filter is going to keep me sober, I'm not staying sober. But if the filter's there, and I get an email from a friend, and he says, wow, did you see this thing on YouTube? I just chuckle, because I can't go to YouTube. I can't go to any of these sites. Any site that's what they call, I don't know what they call them now, these things. I can't do those things. That's a world I cannot walk into. And I'm very comfortable knowing it. I work on a lot of computers that don't have filters on them. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with having it either, if it helps me. The bottom line is, what do I want to do? Am I willing to turn my addiction over to my sponsor? Am I willing to turn it over to my higher power? Am I willing to turn it over to you and say, gentlemen, please help me. I need help. I can't do this alone. And if whatever program is says, yes, I will help you, that's all it is. It's help. It's not going to keep me sober. Because if that's what I'm counting on to be sober, I'm not sober. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Shai. I'm a sex and lustaholic. I was in the meeting the other day with the young people in SA, and someone just made a very interesting remark that they said we younger people in SA are some of pioneers in the idea that we're coming to it, I guess, at our age, but also that we are more like the internet generation. I had plenty of experiences acting out with pornography before the internet, but it wasn't too much of a gap between my first experience and when the internet started becoming, started really getting going. And ever since then, it's been a problem every single year of my life from that point and on. It's just become, you know, everywhere and anywhere for me. Tool or relapse, I think right now I can't make that decision for myself, except that I know I'm an addict and I can't say that, you know, it can't hurt me, because it can. It has so many times, over and over again, so many hours, so many, just so much death, emotionally, spiritually. I was just there many, many sleepless nights, many, too many to count. Anytime I try to become sober, it's almost 85% of the time it's been the internet that's made me slip. So maybe it could be used for the good. It's been a lot of discussion I've had amongst my groups of friends, just in general, that aren't addicts, but just, you know, where does the internet lie in terms of its pros, its cons, and everything. I've definitely had ideas about blocks and not going in, going in with someone there. Every time that hasn't worked, I've definitely gone without the people there. I broke down that boundary very quickly. Usually, a lot of times when I go to do it, if I am sober for at least a little bit, I think of sobriety. It's such a crazy thing. It's just like I don't even think like I want to do it. It's like I just, you know, I don't have like such a crazy drive to do it. But just this one thing in my head that's just like, you know, whatever, you want to see this one thing, it's very, you know, non-graphic, very non-explicit. That's just the problem. That's exactly my MO most of the time, the non-explicit things. I just have a very specific MO. But the thing is, once I get on there and I do that, then I go, oh, well, you know, I've done that, so how much farther is it to the next thing? It's been like that so many times. I've gone around everything and anything. And what else can I do? It's a place where everything you could think of, you can pretty much find. Not pretty much, you could find. What am I saying? Yeah, anything I could think of, I want like fun on there. So I just think that I think it's very nice how the people shared before about how, you know, at least today, not the internet, at least not today. And I don't know about the future. I know about today. I can't have it around because I can't handle it. I can't handle it. And there's three things I think have been very much somewhat seemingly benign, but have really messed me up. YouTube, of course, was one of them. That just is insane. Oh, and of course, my brain said that was okay because they don't allow certain things on there. But there's certainly plenty of stuff on there that's horrible, at least for me. And the two tricky ones that have been very new things and seemingly neutral things for a lot of people's eyes is MySpace and Facebook. I was on MySpace. MySpace is very graphic. I mean, a lot more than Facebook. I got off MySpace, and Facebook was a lot harder because it's most of the time it's quite a bit. They don't allow a lot of things on there, but still, I recently, even amongst the idea, it's a very lot of nice things. I found out a lot of nice events, and I have friends. I have people I haven't met in a while. You know, I don't need it. You know, like it's someone teacher I had, you know, said that you want friends. These aren't your friends on there. Most of these people you won't talk to anyway. You want to have a friend? Why don't you befriend someone who has cancer or something like that? You know, that's a friend. That's someone who needs a friend. So, I got off Facebook, which is extremely difficult because it's such a neutral thing in my mind. But I can't trust myself. So thank you.
I'm Alan, sexaholic, still a sexaholic. I just wanted to interlude something. Again, as John said, it's not crosstalk, it's something that I did want to share before. There's a difference between sobriety and recovery. And when I came into this program, I came here to be sober. I came to stop pornography, masturbation, and prostitutes. That's why I came into the program. I figure I'll do the 12 steps in 12 weeks and I'll be gone. I'll get my diploma and I'll be sober. That's the truth. I've been given so much more. This program's not about sobriety. Doesn't say the word sobriety in the entire 12 steps. When it says step 2, restored us, doesn't say restored us to sobriety. It says restored us to sanity. And this program is about recovery. And I wanted to mention this, that about filters, since was talked about, and I do appreciate all the shares, that I do believe there is a difference, and again, this is opinion, so if your sponsor tells you different, then I'm wrong and he's right. That sobriety, putting a filter on, may help with sobriety, but it won't help with recovery, and that's been my experience. And I just want to quote something from the Big Book, because I do believe that when Bill Wilson wrote the Big Book, and the 100 Recovering Alcoholics wrote the Big Book. God, not Bill Wilson, but God had me in mind when he wrote it. And I do believe he had in mind every countless others. And if God creates something in this world that's going to be a trigger for us, I'm sure the solution is here. And if it isn't, then they'll write another book that is. God didn't put us on this world to drop us. And page 98, it says, burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well. Doesn't say that he can get sober. It says that he can get well regardless of anyone. And to me, that anyone means anyone. It means filters, sponsors, spouses, jobs, anyone. The only condition, so there's only one condition, is that he trust in God and clean house. And that's all I got to do. And if I do that, I'll be okay. Thanks.
We have time for just a couple of more burning desires. Anybody want to?
I'm Peter. I'm a sexaholic. First time sharing. My sponsor told me yesterday I need to share today, to share at the conference. It's an assignment. For me, I use the internet to isolate. That was my main form of acting out, to go hiding on the internet. But I really appreciate what's been shared about the from the Big Book. And for me, a blocker was just a challenge to my addict to get around. I appreciate what was shared in the solution, you know, from the big book. For me, it's the daily program, you know, the 10th step. I believe it's the 10th step in the big book. It says, you know, we have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. I don't have to have the internet at home, you know, so I go to a library or something. That works for me. That's what I'd recommend to sponsees of mine. But if I have to have the internet for work, I'd, you know, put it into my program, put it into my recovery. Someone just suggested doing a daily renewal, you know, in the morning, calling someone, making it part of that. Having an accountability partner on the phone saying, I'm going on the internet, here's what I'm thinking about, you know, my mind's drifting towards maybe looking at something like this. And then calling when I get off the internet, you know, this is what I've done. And, you know, the internet, it's kind of like going down an old neighborhood, you know, before there was an internet with a trigger. You know, I can call someone in the program while I'm on the internet. So for me, that's, you know, I'm trying to, in the program about recovery, like what was just shared, I'm trying to live life on life's terms, be responsible. And the internet can be part of the solution, you know, emailing sponsees. I have a loner sponsee who I can only use the phone with. I wish I had email at home. I could email them instead of having to drive to the library. So email can be, email and the internet can be part of the solution. There's meetings online as well. So for me, putting it into my program of recovery and keeping my spiritual condition up daily, like was shared. Thank you.
We have time for one more, if we can make it quick, please. And I will remain afterwards. I'm sure Alan will, too, if anyone would like to talk after the official time is over.
I'm Brent. I'm a sexaholic.
Hey, Brent.
And I find for me that it took a lot of years before I got to the bitter end and was willing to work steps or submit to a direction from a sponsor, much less a guide of my understanding. But when I get to that level of despair and I get honest with myself, I don't need internet in the home. The more I'm willing to read the literature and enter into a partnership with a sponsor and with a guide of my understanding and work steps and be of maximum service to others, the more I find that internet takes its proper place in my life. I use it at work quite a bit. I do use it for enjoyment, whether following sports or shopping, but those motives aren't always the best. Literature is always a better choice. Meetings are always a better choice. And whether if it's internet or TV, moving media is problematic. I find that whether if I'm watching television or the internet, I don't look directly at the screen. I guard my heart when I'm sober. And I will say our literature addresses the internet. I don't think we need special meetings or literature for it. It talks about the real problem is a spiritual misconnection, and that the solution is the union that flows from working steps and forming a partnership with you guys. And I need to keep it simple and keep coming back to the literature. So that's all. Thanks.
I'd like to thank everyone for what they shared. It is time to close our meeting. Please remember that anything you've shared in this meeting is strictly the opinion of the individual participant. The principles of SA are found in our 12 steps and our 12 traditions. Do we circle up? Stand up.